Well, what's that movie that just came out? Invisible Man, about the guy who can be invisible. I mean, just imagine the analogous situation if you're in a physical office, if you could attend a meeting and be literally invisible and silent. I mean, it just would be so bizarre, but that's effectively what's happening on Zoom, like, all the time. So we've already talked about Zoom a little bit, but there were some aspects to Zoom and video conferencing culture that either I didn't realize at the time or have kind of exposed themselves in recent weeks and months.
And some of these were actually listener input. So shout out to you guys. Email us at frequentlyignoredquestions@gmail.com for any listener input there.
Yeah. So one of the questions was, when should you show yourself on video versus not? So on Zoom, yeah, as I think all you guys know, even all you boomers out there, on Zoom, you can basically, I mean, you can dial in with your phone, like using a phone number conference call ID, but even on the computer, you can just dial in and just do audio only, not turn on your camera. So there's a lot of mixed behavior, right? I've noticed some people, they're just audio only people. Unless you explicitly ask them to show themselves on video, they're not going to show themselves. They're always just audio. And it feels almost creepy or asking for too much, especially in a workplace environment, to be like, show yourself on video right now. I want to see what you're doing. And they might be doing something inappropriate. They might be like going to the bathroom, or they might have people in the background they don't want to expose to other people.
They might not have enough space in their place to share, you know, places where it's just them, right? There might actually be legitimate reasons for that, but it does make it a little just weird. And I think like Zoom, and I think Teams has this, I don't know about Google Meet, but you can kind of blur your background, or you can do like a fun picture background, which kind of helps with some of that, but it's not 100% perfect.
I think the picture background is a good compromise. And given there's a picture background, you know, the green screen basically, and given it works for your computer, which it doesn't for mine because mine's 5 years old. Given that you have that, there's no excuse to not show yourself, except the fact that I don't want you to see my face right now, which is weird in a way, because imagine if you showed up to a physical office at work one day and you were like wearing a mask, and not a COVID mask, but a ski mask, as if you're going to rob a bank. I mean, it's just bizarre human behavior, but totally acceptable on video.
And there are like some people that I'm comfortable calling out, right? People that you have a closer relationship with, but the majority of people, I'm definitely not comfortable saying, hey, show yourself, coward, right? You know,
especially in a larger meeting. Yeah.
There's no well-developed etiquette here. And it's very viral, right? It's kind of like, if the majority of people aren't showing, people just kind of switch their video off after a while, right?
That's the weirdest to me, is when someone is showing their video to start and like, oh, great, we're going to all, you know, get along and be in a meeting. And then they basically for the first 20 seconds realize no one else is showing themselves or going to. And then they hide behind, they click no video. And there's something almost sad about that. They were sort of expecting a more human interaction. And I like to actually start meetings sometimes, kicking it off with a light, stupid office joke of, you know, oh, is this a video meeting or audio meeting? And then people have been kind of responding. They all get it. They kind of laugh like, oh, yeah, I wasn't sure either. But it seems like a very common question that people just don't really know.
Yeah, nobody is saying it.
It's a frequently ignored question.
I think that's the first time.
That's the first. Yeah. It's like an hour and a half into the movie. You think it's a good movie. And then it uses the title and you're like, oh, this movie sucks.
You walk out. People aren't like, oh, it's an audio only if everyone's hiding and not showing themselves. Just people don't pay attention to it.
I think people, they don't really change their behavior when I say that, but at least it kind of lets some air out of the tires, because the elephant in the room's sort of been addressed. And there's an acceptance of like, some people just aren't comfortable showing themselves on video. And I mean, there's a lot at play here, right? I'm sure there's gender issues, expectation that women look a certain way, and asking them to show themselves on video is one more added pressure, and it's not fair. And that's, yeah, not just true of women, but people who just don't want to show themselves. I've noticed that in meetings, if somebody's talking a lot or they're running the meeting, they can kind of almost get away with not showing themselves more, because nobody's questioning that they're working. They're like involved in the meeting, they're engaged, they're doing their job, all that. But if you're a silent participant in the meeting and you're not really saying much, it's kind of strange to be just on mute, no video, not saying anything for not saying anything.
Yeah, right.
At least show me your face to so I know you're not playing video games or making a sandwich or going for a walk outside.
And some of the meetings are just going to be you're just there to get the information, right? It might be an informational meeting. Those aren't always disasters, right? Sometimes those are necessary. But yeah, I agree. If you're just a blank screen the whole time, you've said nothing. You could have totally just walked away.
Well, it's what's that movie that just came out, like Invisible Man, about the guy who can be invisible? I mean, just imagine the analogous situation if you're in a physical office, if you could attend a meeting and be literally invisible and silent. I mean, it just would be so bizarre, but that's effectively what's happening on Zoom, like all the time.
Yeah, that's actually where those Zoom reactions are good. I was in one, I did have my video sharing and I hadn't really said anything. And somebody said, Graham, you with us? And I just gave a thumbs up. And that was a snarky way to still not say anything, but kind of prove that you're listening, right?
So were you showing your video?
I was showing my video. Yeah, I default to showing video because I think you should.
There's your answer, listeners. All 12 of you.
Yeah, because I think you should. Yeah, that's a well backed up argument. But right, like if I'm in a meeting, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but I have been a participant and participated on conference calls before video calls became the norm, where either you or the other party is clearly not paying attention and just throws out an okay, mm-hmm, every so often, right? And a lot of that's solved by just having a video on you. Keeps you honest, right?
Totally agree. Yeah, I definitely default to on unless I totally look like shit or I'm like multitasking where I'm like eating breakfast and I don't want people to have to like watch me chew.
Now they got to ask what you're eating.
It's a whole conversation. And or just I do get annoyed when people comment too much on backgrounds. As much as it is a friendly way of making banter and we're all doing it to some extent and oh, your pet's in the background. Let me see your dog. Introduce us. There's kind of an eerie letting into your personal space that's happening. And what if you're in your bedroom because your roommate or spouse is taking over the living room? I mean, there's also, I'm sure you've seen, there's companies now who all they do is help you fix your Zoom environment. They help you fix your lighting. They help you fix your room. And there's also, I read an article that was basically saying bookshelves are the latest thing. So Joe Biden was on a video call and he had this curated bookshelf of all these patriotic books in the background, basically curated as well as a museum. You know, he's obviously got a team doing that, but even people are doing it who aren't political figures, just enhancing their environment and what's behind them just to seem more highbrow or educated or professional. But it's sort of strange that that should matter because it shouldn't matter where you're working from, right? I mean, and it's a form of privilege, right? Someone might just live in a nice place because their significant other makes more money or whatever. And you shouldn't hold that against someone, the environment they're Zooming from. But you could argue that video makes the world less equal in some ways.
Yeah, there's even a Twitter that I just learned about called Room Raider. And it just goes and looks at people in the news that are on video and broadcasting from their place and will rate their room setup, right? So if you're in front of like just a white screen, you get a 1 out of 10. If you have like nice flowers and a nice presentation, you'll get a good rating. And so, it's like a meme at this point about, you know, setting up your room. Although I feel kind of self-conscious. I've got an office, but all I have is doors behind me. And I've got like art and nice things in the room, but all you can see is doors, right? It's, you know, I get that you want to flex. I mean, I don't know if you watch YouTube much, but any YouTuber will have a very curated background behind them if they're just a talking YouTuber, right? Like they will have, if it's around some community, they'll have things from that community behind them. Or if it's about a video game, they'll have old video games behind them just to kind of add credence to what they're saying. Yeah, so I definitely have noticed that. And it is a funny thing. It is funny to think about Joe Biden getting a full team behind him, like a bunch of consultants went in that room and curated it, right?
It's a movie set. I mean,
totally.
Basically.
It is, yeah, at that point.
My movie set, I live in a basement. There is one window, but it's pretty limited in terms of light. There's minimal decorations. I have a few Star Wars pictures, I guess, hung up that aren't mine, that were just better than a white wall. And then the main feature that's always in the background of my video calls, because it's just, it happens to be there in that location, is a giant kickboxing heavy bag, which I think gives off pretty sort of creepy incel kind of almost like, I mean, borderline violent. It's a violent thing. And, you know, they're kind of wondering, you know, is Clay going to snap in this meeting? Go have to hit the bag. Actually, on one of our happy hours recently, somebody called me out because they saw it in the background. They said, go give us a demo, hit the bag. And I was like, no, I'm not. Everyone was, you know, of course, like just wanting me to do it just because what else am I going to do that's going to be that interesting? But I didn't want to do that. It felt weird.
Yeah, it's like if a comedian says they're a comedian, like, tell me a joke.
Yeah, don't put me on the spot. Like, I'll do it if I want to do it. There's also, I think we've been kind of de facto talking about internal calls within a company, but there's also a dynamic when you're video chat, when you're, I guess I'll leave it open-ended, when you have a call with an external vendor. So it could be anything from another company that you partner with. It could be a client of yours that you're having a call with. It could be you're the client and, you know, they call you or whatever. But in either case, that's an almost a harder decision of whether or not to show video. Because if you're servicing a client, I mean, if they show themselves on video, you better show yourself on video, I would think. That's kind of strange not to. But what if you have like a heavy bag in your background or something kind of unprofessional and they're in an office, you're kind of showing your hand that, hey, this company isn't quite the glamour that I thought it was.
Yeah, it does feel like if you're the vendor, though, you kind of have to, right? Or at least you should, in my opinion. But if you're the client, you know, and I've done this, sometimes you don't want to show your video because you're not as into that meeting. And you just took the sales call because somebody told you to, but you don't think it's a good idea, you know, right?
Like, but does that feel weird? I've had that too, where like I'm the client and they're showing themselves on video and I don't show myself. And it's such a power move, but I feel like such a dick because that person, I picture them like a court jester just dancing in front of me to impress me. Like, look at me. I'm professional. I'm making eye contact. I'm engaged. And I'm just, no, I'm not going to even show you my face. I'm not going to even give you that respect.
Yeah, I hear you on that. I think it's, everyone just wants to like, you know, flex what little power they have, right? Just clinging onto a scrap of power. I mean, the other thing, it's awkward too, because I've been in calls where you're sharing your screen, you're walking through something and it's going well, and then you forget that you're sharing your screen. And then what, right? I've done it. Nothing bad has ever come up, but I've been on my calendar because the meeting's running long and I'm looking at my next meeting.
That's almost worse than porn. I mean, you're basically just saying, I got more important places to be.
I gotta go, yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Well, I think one sort of solution is for external calls, you as the person sending the calendar invite should basically make clear, is this a call or is this a video conference? Because if you just click the default of, I don't know, Google Hangouts or Zoom on Google Calendar or whatever, it's going to by default spit out both a conference call number that somebody can dial in from their car with and also a link that somebody can go from their computer or even their phone and do a video call. But that ambiguity kind of leaves people just in a strange spot where you don't really know. It reminds me of going on a first date where you don't make it clear, is it dinner or drinks? You're like, let's meet at 6 p.m. at this place. And it's a bar restaurant. Are we getting food? Are you paying for the food? You know, should I eat before?
But isn't that by design though, right? Because then, you know, if either party isn't interested, you can get an out. But if you're both interested, you can take the drinks into dinner, right? Because you're having a good time.
So what's the person supposed to do? Eat enough beforehand that they're not going to drink on an empty stomach, but not so much that they spoil their appetite. I mean, that just seems absurd. I think you just make it very clear. This is just drinks. It starts at 7 p.m. or time late enough where you can eat before. And if it's going well, we just have more drinks or more time together, but don't complicate it with food. or at least the ambiguity of whether or not you're going to eat. That's just stupid.
Okay.
And you could make the argument, if you're on the phone, if you need to resolve an issue with a partner or a client, and it's a really quick thing, maybe a similar principle applies. Like, don't overcomplicate it with video. Just send them a phone number to call you at, or a conference call line. Don't send them the link to even have the option of video. It'll make your life and their life more complicated if you involve video. Like, what's the benefit? Unless you're trying to sell to them or something.
I mean, I think it's nicer to have video because it feels more like a conversation, especially with people that you don't know super well. You can kind of gauge the reaction, right? I might be going down and explaining something, and if I see somebody's face like gloss over, I'm going to just take a step back and say, okay, I'm clearly not explaining this well, right? Whereas if it's just a call, I think there's value. But yeah, I think people prefer to do audio on average because it's easier and it's less personal. So you can kind of potentially, if you're not interested, you can check out more.
The bottom line is people don't like to have a camera shoved in their face. I mean, think when you're a kid, your dad takes out the camcorder. Like, half of my home videos are just me saying, "Dad, stop." So I think we kind of have this innate aversion to cameras. And that's what a video call is. It's a camera on your face. And it's strange because if you're sharing your screen or you're taking notes, whatever you're doing on your computer, and you don't see that other person's face, or again, maybe you're sharing your video and they're not sharing themselves on video, your facial reactions are not going to react in the same way they would in person. So it can almost give a bad impression that's misleading. You can look like you're bored or angry or annoyed or whatever when you're not actually.
Also, you know, just with the video portion of video calls, I think way more vain than I originally thought, because what I end up doing is just looking at my own video more than other people's video. Zoom's got a feature where you can hide yourself video, and that helps so much, right? Because I'm no longer just, because I just end up looking at myself the whole time and seeing how my reactions are. And it's just such a waste of my own attention. Do you do that too? It's so weird.
Oh, totally. Well, I think it's just human instinct. You see a picture of yourself you want. I mean, it's there for good reason, because you need to make sure, is the camera capturing me at all? Is it blurry? Is there background? But once you establish that and your camera's fixed in one position, it's just vanity. One big difference between video and in person is, imagine if you were talking to someone at a bar, and while you're talking to them, there's a mirror or an avatar of your face talking in real time right in front of them. You're going to be distracted by that, and you're going to interact with them in a way that's not your normal face-to-face interaction, where you can sort of lose yourself in the conversation and not be so self-conscious.
Yeah. So that's huge, is to be able to turn off your own video, because it just gets that problem out of the way. Because I totally just end up looking at myself, and it's really embarrassing to just be on a call and you're just looking at yourself. It's a very absurd thing to do.
It's so vain. Yeah. It's insane. On FaceTime, I've had to literally move my little mini face icon to the bottom right corner and then just hide it with my thumb or a piece of paper sometimes, just to engage more with what they're saying.
Yeah, and that one, you can't get rid of it.
I have a funny story. A couple years back, I was on a call with a vendor. So I wasn't the client, they weren't the client. It was sort of a little bit more of a mutual footing, but still, you know, with any B2B relationship, you're feeling each other out, right? It was a Google Hangouts or maybe a Zoom or BlueJeans. I can't remember, but they were sharing their face. So you mentioned you're sharing your screen, you don't realize, and you open up your calendar or your email or something embarrassing. And that's like the common gaffe. And then now recently with, you know, the pandemic, we're being exposed to all the people who don't realize they're on camera on Zoom and they go to the bathroom or whatever. This was, and that's like embarrassing, but if it's an internal call, everyone can laugh. This was really bad because they didn't realize they were on video the entire time. So it wasn't just like, oh, they thought they turned off their video. The whole time, they must have thought they just were audio only. Or it's just like boomers who just didn't realize. And pretty much at most of the stuff we would say, because we were trying to get them to do something, which, you know, I thought was reasonable, they would look at each other and be whispering to each other, and they'd be on mute. So I'd see them whispering to each other, and then being like, hang on one sec, and then whispering and then shaking their head in a very dismissive way, very not collaborative, very almost hostile to, you know, the company I was at. And it just totally soured the call. My coworker I was on the call with, we were just in total disbelief. Like, holy shit, the fact that you're sharing your video, we would never realize that you were pieces of shit.
Their audio part was fine, but when you actually saw the reactions on video, you could tell that they were being totally disingenuous.
Yeah. It made me wonder, how many calls have I had with them or other businesses or people where they've been doing that the whole time and just on mute and not sharing video? You know, you can get away with so much on a conference call where there's no video. And like you said, I think video adds a level of accountability. You just got to realize that you're on video.
Yeah, you have to be aware that you're being videoed for that accountability to matter. Yeah,
exactly. But it was an awkward thing because it wasn't bad enough where I could really call them out. And you can call someone out, like, if the second they did something abnormal, I could say, oh, hey, guys, FYI, you're on video. And they would be, oh, shoot, sorry. And then they'd turn it off or whatever, or they'd act normal. But once you've seen one or two bad moments, it's too late. It's the point of no return. You can't then be like, right, you've been sharing your video the past 20 minutes and I've seen what a piece of shit you are.
Another thing I've noticed with every meeting being virtual is there's always, at the end of a Zoom call in particular, and I think it's because it's its own program and there's a couple steps to actually leave a meeting. You can't just, like with a Google Meet, you can just click close the window and, you know, close the browser tab and it's over. Mm-hmm. But with Zoom, there's always like 5 to 10 seconds at the end of a call where everyone is looking confused. You know, you've all said your goodbyes. I feel like I like to wave because it feels like, you know, a thing to do. I don't know how people feel about the wave, but I do it. But, you know, you've said your goodbyes and now the call's over. You're leaving, right? It's the equivalent of you walking out of a conference room. But it's always the same on Zoom where for 5 to 10 seconds after the goodbye and before you've exited, everybody has this confused look of trying to remember how to end the Zoom call, how to leave. And how to verify that they're off, because the last thing you want is to have thought you left and you're still being recorded, right?
That's the funniest. Yeah, totally. And if it's an internal call, presumably you're more transparent, you're more yourself. You're not holding your breath in those 5 seconds. But I've also been on external calls where you're trying to get off ASAP. So you say, okay, bye. And you do like the 7-step process. First, you mute your mic. Then you leave the Google Hangouts, then you X out of the tab, then you quit Google Chrome, then you shut your laptop down. Like, you cover the camera with a Band-Aid, and then you can start talking shit.
Burn the building down that you were just in.
Cut the Wi-Fi, cut the power cord. You don't want to make that mistake. But there's something when you're on a call, especially when it's tense and you're with other coworkers and you've been kind of itching to say something or talk shit or vent about something that they said, you want to say it as soon as possible, because if you wait 20 minutes, it won't have the same energy and zing to it.
Right. You will have gotten over it, right? And maybe you forgot it.
Yeah. So you're rushing to get off the call, but you're also trying to be very careful to not keep sharing your screen or keep, you know, the audio on or the video and while you, you know, just lay into these people.
Yeah. It's all these little new kind of idiosyncrasies that are uncovered, right? The uncomfortable 5 to 10 seconds when everyone is looking confused and kind of dumbfounded at how to quit Zoom every time.
And because you're on camera, but you're not in the room with them, you have to kind of have this weird expression on your face where you're basically trying to convey, hey, I'm not mad. You know, you're kind of like half smiling, but you're not actually happy and you're not laughing at anything. But you're just like, hey, we're still on friendly terms, even though there's this awkward 5-second pause where we're all just fucking frustrated.
It's like the equivalent of saying goodbye to somebody and then you're walking the same direction.
Right. That was a classic in college. That one always got me. Yeah. I always clarified anytime I ran into someone, where are you going? So that we don't have this strange experience. I also rode a bike all 4 years of college so that, I mean, it was more efficient and it was fun. But I liked the fact that I didn't have to walk with anyone because I would go faster than them. So I didn't have to have this whole, oh, yeah, I recognize you from my class. We're walking the same direction. Let's have a forced 6-minute walk to the cafeteria and then have to like awkwardly sit at different tables or sit at the same table, even worse.
It's weird if you sit at a different tables, though, because you're just admitting that the previous conversation was garbage, right?
Totally. Yeah. Actually, I'm on a tangent now. This is probably for another episode, but there's always a good one that cracks my dad up, which is back home, my hometown in Connecticut. There's a train that goes into the city, and everyone, basically, it's a statistical inevitability that if you stand on that train platform for, call it, 20 minutes or more, you will see somebody that you know or recognize. Like, oh, that person who was the year below you in high school and you haven't talked to them in 7 years, but you saw their baby on Facebook. Or, I mean, this is now, it's not so much of an anxiety because I'm 30 years old. But, you know, when I was in college, fresh out of college, it was all these half-ass interactions. And then you interact with that person on the platform, or you ignore them, pretend not to see them, but you interact with them, then the train comes.
And do you have to sit next to them on the train?
Yeah, that's the question. I mean, I don't want to, no, but some people wouldn't get it. And they'd be like, hey, let's catch up. Or like, they'd be offended if you found your own seat. And my dad always found this hilarious because he commuted on that same train for 40 years and he would always run into the same people. But he's like, yeah, that's a generational thing. Like my generation's just like, all right, nice seeing you. And let's get our separate seats and read the paper separately.
The original iPhone, the newspaper.
We all wax nostalgic thinking they're all talking to each other. No, they're reading the newspaper. Oh, yeah. Should we tell our listeners why they should subscribe? Or what is subscribing for all those boomers out there?
Oh, yeah. So on your podcast app of choice, we got Apple Podcasts. That's the old standby.
Yeah.
We got the new up-and-comer Spotify.
When we talk about subscribing, though, that's one thing that is a little annoying is the Apple podcast app calls it subscribing. Spotify, for whatever reason, they just want to be different, calls it following. Anyway, so subscribe or follow our podcast by clicking the button if you like it. If you don't like it, if you don't like what we're saying, we don't give a fuck.
But don't rate us though. Yeah, only rate us if you're going to rate us 5 stars and make sure to put 10 minutes into the review process. Right. It's definitely worth your time for sure.
We welcome, yeah, feedback as long as it's positive. Give us any feedback you have. And you can also submit your questions, as some people did this episode, to frequentlyignoredquestions@gmail.com. We're not big enough to have our own domain, but we are big enough to be the first to that Gmail email address.
For any domain squatters out there, please don't buy that. One day we're going to save up enough to buy it.
We don't want to be price gouged from you. But yeah, it's important to subscribe. I'm not a vanity metrics person, but literally when a new episode comes out, it's the only way you're going to know that a new episode came out. And otherwise, I have to text you, all 14 of you, which I'm not going to do, and you'll never know. So if you like it, if you want to know when new episodes come out, then you got to subscribe. It's the only way. We could set up an Instagram account that you then have to follow. And then every time an episode posts, we'd, in addition to posting the episode, we'd make an Instagram post and put a link to that episode in the bio. And you could click on that link and go to that link every time. But you can see how that's...
It's suboptimal. It's suboptimal.
It's very inefficient. Yeah. So just, I like things to be the thing itself. Like, that's what I like about podcasts. You just follow that podcast. It's not like a Facebook friending thing where if you guys subscribe to us, we then need to subscribe to you. We're not going to see anything you do.
And you can see what naturals we are because we've got such a concise, quippy, catchy thing to tell you to subscribe. So you know we're pros here.
We're really respectful of your time. So subscribe and mostly write in your questions. Or honestly, can we get some hate mail? Like, have we said anything? Because we could just read it off, you know, that'd be good.
Yeah, that'd be cool too.